This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Buying pants shouldn't take this much effort. Too many options, inconsistent sizing, and styles that don't work across your day. You want something comfortable, sharp, and reliable without guessing, returning, or buying 5 different pairs. That's why there's Jack Archer.
Yes, jackarcher.com simplifies everything with the Jet Setter Tech Pant. One versatile pair designed to take you from work to weekend without missing a beat. Easy to wear, easy to style, and easy to shop for. The Jet Setter Tech Pant is wrinkle-free, stain-resistant, and built for all-day comfort. They stretch, breathe, and hold their shape, giving you a consistent fit and polished look every time. Backed by thousands of 5-star reviews, they're the dependable pants you'll reach for daily.
Jack Archer, ready when you are. For a limited time, get 15% off your first order with code GETJACK at jackarcher.com. Again, that's promo code GETJACK at jackarcher.com for 15% off your first order.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. Hope everybody made it into work safely. Made it home safely last night, made it into work safely this morning. We got hit with a sneak attack snowstorm, although there is now more snow in the forecast, so it won't be as much of a surprise anything that happens after this. But even the local meteorologists were saying, tap, tap, my bad. But you know what? We didn't see the Indiana Hoosiers coming. It happens.
Indiana football.
Yes.
Didn't see Cignetti being.
No, didn't see them turning into a national power, morphing suddenly into Alabama when Cignetti took over. So, hey, look, it's tough to predict what's going to happen next. Here's feedback coming in. If the Lions do not kidnap and force Mike McDaniel to a deal, I swear I will sue the organization for emotional damage. Signed, Guy Fighting Pigeons.
Well, don't fight pigeons. They'll gang up on you.
Kang, how do you feel about pigeons?
Take them all down, but I'm not stepping to them, that's for sure. There's a lot of them.
You're going to sue if they don't force Mike McDaniel to take a deal. Good luck with that. Look, it's basically like saying if, you know, Jennifer Aniston won't marry me, I'm going to sue. Like, you can't force him to take your job, right? Can you?
No, you can't force him to take the job. Just interesting analogy. I'm not sure.
I didn't know
quite,
where else to go.
Quite fits
know.
There, but yeah. Obviously, there's some hyperbole in his statement there, but you know, you've got your guy that you think is the best. I think he'd be an interesting fit here with Detroit, but what we don't know is if he is. I don't know personality-wise what he's like behind closed doors, talking with those guys in the interview, but that's going to be the deciding factor with any of this, is that they have to fit what Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell are looking for, period. They have to fit that. They have to be on the same wavelength.
Next text. No blanking way to Arthur Smith as OC. He's been at 3 or 4 locations since Tennessee as offense coordinator. That was the last time he was any good. Next text.
Oh, he's been 2 other places. He was the head coach of the Falcons, and then he was the offense coordinator of the Steelers.
Funny thing about Arthur Smith is that he thoroughly outcoached Campbell in the Steelers game.
Well, they had 3 plays that went for quite a ways. But if we bring up injuries, I guess we're going to get shot down. So I don't want to do that. Yeah, I mean, or the end of that game where they did have 2 touchdowns that were called back. But
I'd rather have Wojo be the offensive coordinator before Orlovsky. I might take Dan and player personnel as a player personnel scout, though.
Happy New Year.
Wojo, huh? Whoever requested the Arthur Smith interview should be fired. Absolute joke, but this is the Lions, so it wouldn't surprise me if he gets the job.
Oh.
Same old Lions move here.
There they are. Came back. How'd you feel last year, the year before? You feel good? Under your rock? Waiting to come back?
You mean same old Lion guy?
Yeah.
From Scott, my problem with pigeons, they don't fly away until your car is a foot away from running them over. That drives me nuts. Well, Kang hates all birds.
This is true.
Yep. Not a fan of birds.
Don't play that game with me, birds.
No.
Are they even real?
Yes, birds are real.
See, now, this is, here's, as much as I don't like Arthur Smith, it's recency bias, right?
Yep.
I don't love the Steelers offense despite what they did to the Lions, and it's not an exciting offense. I certainly didn't like what he did as head coach of the Atlanta Falcons. But if you look at what he did with Tennessee as their offensive coordinator, his last year at Tennessee, they were third in the NFL with almost 400 yards a game, and they averaged 31 points a game. That's not bad. The previous season, let's see what kind of an improvement they had. They were, looks like around 11 or 12 in the NFL in yards per game with 363, and they averaged 25 points a game. You know, he was much better as a coordinator with Tennessee and actually quite good. That's what got him his head coaching gig was the year they had in 2020. But I didn't like him as a head coach. I don't like him as an OC at Pittsburgh.
Should Pittsburgh and the Ravens just swap coaches? Should they have gotten together and said, okay, we'll just trade you Tomlin for Harbaugh straight up?
Well, I think it's obvious that Tomlin doesn't want to coach.
Maybe not.
And no, I don't think that Baltimore.
Be fascinating theater.
Yeah, Baltimore wants to see John Harbaugh.
That's one of those great cliches in sports that I've loved to use in the past. I want a guy coaching my team that can beat me with my roster and beat me with your roster. That's the guy I want coaching my team. That would be a great experiment. Harbaugh in charge of the Steelers. John Harbaugh in charge of the Steelers. Mike Tomlin in charge of the Ravens. Who wins? 248-539-9797. So we're down to 8 coaching openings. If indeed, when it gets confirmed that Harbaugh, John Harbaugh, is going to the New York Giants. Yesterday, near the end of the show, if you were not listening, I made a bold-ass prediction. And we'll get to what that bold-ass prediction is in a minute. But Gator, now that's had some time to marinate regarding NFL coaching spots, do you think I'm going to be drinking beer out of a shoe or not?
Yes.
You do?
Yeah, I do. But I think I like your bold stance you're taking. I think it's really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
No more next week.
Kang, do you think I'm going to be drinking beer out of a shoe or not?
Oof. There's always a crazy X factor, like something you never saw coming. And I think that's what you're banking on. Because I'm going to say, yes, you're going to be drinking beer out of a shoe.
Okay, so what I said yesterday. It's
crazy, but I think you're going to be
drinking. That's kind of the point of the bold-ass prediction, is it's something that is bold, but you really think it's going to happen. But my crazy-ass prediction was, one of the NFL head coaching positions will be filled by a current college coach between Bill Belichick, Kurt Cignetti, Ryan Day, Steve Sarkisian. Somebody's going to surprise, because here's what I think happens in this coaching cycle, is there's the big names that feels like John Harbaugh. Everybody wanted John Harbaugh. We're going to go get John Harbaugh. We're going to go get Kevin Stefanski. We're going to go get Mike McDaniel. Whoever is deemed the big fish, there's not enough to fill all the jobs. Then an owner's embarrassed, has egg on his face, and says, the splash I'm going to make, I'm going to get Cignetti, or I'm going to go get Ryan Day, or I'm going to do something where I can say I got the best coach that nobody else knew was available.
I think if Indiana wins the national championship next week, I think your chances have gone up, but I still don't think it's a good bet. Because obviously if Cignetti wins the national championship, what does he have left to prove in Indiana? You know, he was devastatingly good the first year he was there and tops it off with an undefeated season and wins the national championship in the second year. He could just mic drop and move on if he wanted to. I don't know if he wants to. I think he may want. I think college coaches might be driven differently.
Oh, there's no. Like, I think there's totally different skill set.
Yeah, and I think they chase the championships, maybe more so than what they're chasing in the NFL. NFL is more to me. It seems like it's more status being an NFL coach. College coaches, you can just keep banking national championships, and everybody's chasing Saban or chasing Bear Bryant or whomever right. It is, you know.
Well, I think college coaches also on college campuses can take on hero status.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of them like that.
Get a statue built.
I did see something on a satire Twitter account with a picture. It said breaking news, and it was a picture of Ryan Day wearing like a Browns shirt. It said Ryan Day says yes to Browns, and underneath it says problem is Browns didn't ask anything. all right. With that said, my bold ass prediction, my shoot the boot guarantee is that some team in the NFL will fill their current vacancy with a college coach. We'll take 10 techs now. Am I going to be drinking beer out of a shoe? Does anybody think I'm going to be drinking beer out of a shoe? Does anyone think I'm going to be right on this one? First 10 techs, sign your techs. If you want to give a reason why, feel free. Am I going to be drinking beer out of a shoe? I made a shoot the boot guarantee that one of these NFL jobs will be filled by a current college coach. What does my future hold? Drinking beer out of a shoe or not? 248-539-9797. Interesting reporting on the Pistons. We'll get to that today at 11:20 on 97.1. We did get this regarding Dan Orlovsky, who I don't know if he kind of facetiously, that was on the Pat McAfee show, by the way, I got to give credit where credit is due, facetiously said, I'd run the Detroit offense.
You think it was facetious?
I don't think he was really serious, but Joe G in White Lake says, Orlovsky should target a Canadian Football League job with deeper end zones.
Oh, see, so he couldn't step out.
Well, yeah, but so he can call plays. All right. Feedback coming in. You 100% are drinking beer from a shoe, Doug. Might as well start prepping it now. That's from Nick and Ipsy. If you could be right, I think you could be right. There's always a shocking hire. That's from Jordan at Michigan State. Jeff and Warren says, Doug, is your prediction crazy? No, the Raiders are still looking for a coach. Fritz and Clinton Township.
That's a solid point.
Yep.
But with Brady involved, maybe it's not as likely.
Fritz in Clinton Township. Doug, stay thirsty, my friend, because you'll be drinking. Tom in a truck. You absolutely will. You should try Yingling. It's a great beer. How do you feel about Yingling?
I like Yingling.
I got to go back and try it again, because I feel like my beer tastes have changed, but not dramatically. And once a year, I try Guinness and go, okay, this time. God, so many people like Guinness. I'm going to try I'm going to like Guinness. One sip. Nope.
I think Guinness is acquired taste.
I got to do it with Yingling.
Yingling's just, it's beer. You know, I don't think it's. And I don't think it's special. I think it's good, but it's not like, oh my God, I got to have it. I don't think there's some sort of truly distinctive flavor that separates it from other beers. I think you'd like it just fine.
From Fox, no shoe, you'll win, Doug.
I want to know this. Where's your information coming from?
I don't give away all my sources.
But I'm just saying, like, can you at least admit that you've got somebody that's maybe dropped this in your ear to suggest that this makes sense?
No.
You won't admit that. you're not going to help out. You're not playing along.
No, I don't have somebody in my ear.
No, you don't have somebody in your ear, you're saying?
Yes.
Okay.
Why, you think I've got inside intel?
I do. I think I talk to people. I don't think you'd mention something like this, especially shoot the boot. You're very conservative when it comes to shoot the boot.
You know, I'm not scared. We've already talked about it once today. I look danger in the face all the time.
Right, as you do. And as I'm looking at the list of the latest odds on favorites for various coaches, Arizona, as I'm looking down their list, I don't believe there's any college guys listed there. Atlanta, no college guys listed there. Go down to Baltimore, no college guys listed there. Cleveland, no college guys listed there. Get to Vegas, and no college guys listed. It's a long list of names. Didn't see that. Miami, no college guys listed there. The Giants, obviously Harbaugh's got the job there. Pittsburgh, oh. Pittsburgh, Chris Shula, odds on favorite right now, 4-1 odds. Brian Flores, number 2 at 9-2 odds. Number 3 at 11-2 odds. Marcus Freeman. Robert Saleh, 17-2. Kurt Cignetti, 9-1.
He's a Yinzer. He's from Pittsburgh.
You got relatives in Pittsburgh.
Next one.
I don't think that's not yours. Why are you moving on? What have people told you? What have you heard?
I told you. Nobody's told me anything. This is fresh and original content.
Am I really supposed to believe that?
I have no reason to lie. It's better if I say somebody gave me a tip. Makes me sound well-connected. I'm not connected.
You're right. You want to be a buffoon? Go ahead, be a buffoon.
No shoe, you'll win. That's from Fox. Greg in the Powder writes in, dry January got into Doug's head. He'll be sipping the dirty. Yeah, try January. Yeah, January's a long ass.
Yeah, by the time he's got to pay off the bet, though, it'll be January. Be over with.
Yeah, get the odor eaters going now, Doig, because you're wrong. That's from Scott in Carlton.
Doig.
Yeah, you know I got a group of people that call me Doig because I once hit the I instead of the U on a text.
It's good.
Yes,
people
Doug.
Don't forget.
Yes, Doug. You'll be drinking beer from the shoe. The NFL jobs that are left are nothing worth leaving the NCAA. That's from Mike in Wasteland. So there you go. There are the 10 techs. So we get to some Piston stuff. First of all, they're back on the court tonight and should be healthier. We'll try and get an update here. But I did remember seeing that they got guys coming back, which is good after 4 days off. The Athletic. John Hollinger is a former Memphis Grizzly executive. And there's a Q&A with him. A writer named Hunter Patterson, and it's all about the Pistons and what the Pistons should do at the trade deadline. Now, trade deadline talk is great for sports talk radio. Trade deadline talk is what sports talk radio, I think it's where we thrive. I think it's where it's fun to speculate. It's fun to put deals together, and it's fun to think about lineups after you make a trade, and it's fun to think about how you can maybe scoop a great player off another team, and this will be the championship move. And so in the last calendar year, Gator, we have gone through a NHL trade deadline, a Major League Baseball trade deadline, and an NFL trade deadline that not nearly enough happened in the eyes of the Detroit fan.
Correct.
There were moves on the fringes, but nothing, no swings for the fences. So Hollinger, now we got a Piston team that has the best record in the Eastern Conference. And they do a deep dive in The Athletic on what the Pistons should do. And so they got a former executive here in Hollinger, and they ask him, as a well-versed front office dealings, what would your general approach to the trade season be, given the Pistons' success this far? And he kind of lays it out, but this is in part what he said. I might consider a middle ground move that looks more at an incremental roster upgrade rather than all-in trades that surrender the Pistons' future trade flexibility. I would be much more open to taking big swings once I have more information about what this current group looks like in a late round playoff series. They also ask him at the end, again, they kind of circle back, while league sources expect the Pistons to be opportunistic but not aggressive, would this be the season Detroit should look to capitalize on an Eastern Conference in flux, or do you see them as a group with the potential for sustained success that doesn't prompt the move this deadline for anything other than marginal growth? Hollinger, I've seen this movie enough times before that I'll counsel patience right now. There are too many things Detroit doesn't know yet about its own team and isn't going to find them out until it plays meaningful games in May. If you look at this over the life cycle of the Cunningham, Durin, Asar Thompson core, making the right move with better information is more important than rushing into a less informed decision that the Pistons might later regret. This is a former NBA executive saying that the Pistons should act really sounds like exactly the same way the Lions, Tigers, and Red Wings did.
Yeah, it's interesting. It sounds like to me that he's just basically he's not buying into this team being good enough yet where they need to make a move to do that. And I'm not sure that it seems counterintuitive. Like if you're good, why not take a chance to make yourself better and really be a player here? But really what he's kind of said is he needs us to play out a little longer before he's going to be on board. Well, there's only, what, 3 weeks to the trade deadline. So
But he says he needs to see him in a late playoff series before he really knows what he has.
Which I think by then it's going to be too late because you'll have decisions you got to make on Jalen Duren and Jaden Ivey with their contract situations, and that's in the offseason. So I wish that we had the luxury of time to wait for that. I wish that this article was written a year ago so that maybe he feels better about what's going on if he's going to make this opinion. But to me, it's not even fence sitting. It's just sitting on a side of caution with what he has said. And I don't particularly want to subscribe to that theory.
See, I don't think a year ago would have mattered because the reason he doesn't want to make a move or why he says he wouldn't make a move is because he needs to see how they look in like an Eastern Conference final.
No, I know. And I think that's just being way too cautious about things.
Okay. So you don't like his approach?
No, I don't like his approach at all.
Interesting. I feel like one is starting to impact the other. And what I mean by that is these trade deadlines that have come and gone without big moves, I think the fan base is growing increasingly more impatient cumulatively, and now the Pistons are in the crosshairs. And if they don't make a move, I think they start to feel the wrath for lack of moves that other teams made here in Detroit. This is somebody that's been in the league that says, I wouldn't do it yet if I were the Pistons because I need to see them in a deep playoff run to really know what they mean, what they need, rather. How do you feel, Detroit, about that? Do you agree with Hollinger that they should take the patience? And I don't even know if people, and I mean this sincerely, do you think people can even process the Pistons without thinking about what the other teams didn't do? Have we lost the ability to separate them?
I do think you have to separate things. I think things that obviously each sport is different and unique. And I think, when you look at, particularly when you compare it to the Tigers and the Lions, trades that happen in baseball or trades that happen in the NFL at the trade deadline, a lot of that is if you're trying to improve yourself, getting a player that what you're giving up in return is somebody you're not seeing. With the Tiger it was all about prospects. With the Lions, it'll be draft choices. With the Pistons in the NBA, because it's a salary cap league, you have to go apples to apples. You have to match the salaries of trades that you're, if you're going to acquire a player a consequence, then you're going to have to match that salary that you're giving up.
Yep.
The NHL is a little bit different. It seems like there's more, it could be more prospects. The NHL does a lot of player swaps though. So I think it's the NHL and NBA are probably more akin to each other.
Mm-hmm.
As far as would fans feel, well, we're tired. We're fans of all the local teams and we've seen the other teams just not do much at the deadline. Pistons, please do something. I mean, fans are going to feel that way. As a fan, I tried not to let that creep in. I'm just looking at the Pistons by themselves. I think it's a really good basketball team. And it seems like there's a couple players out there that could make a big difference on this team. And, what we kicked around yesterday as possible trades, there were a couple that I would absolutely have done. I don't know if those are appropriate or not, if the other teams would make those trades or if that's enough to get the deals done. But the Pistons certainly have players and some draft capital that they could move to get those players. Are they going to be bold enough to do it? I think I had an owner that would support Trajan Langdon and his decisions, what's going to happen.
248-539-9797. I'm intrigued. Piston fans, you just heard it. Former NBA executive says, sit tight. We don't know how good this team really is yet. Don't do anything until we have more definition. If this trade deadline comes and goes and the Pistons do anything, nothing bold, they don't get aggressive, maybe make a move on the margins, how do you feel? Want to hear from you next. It's Carson Anderson on 97.1.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Buying pants shouldn't take this much effort. Too many options, inconsistent sizing, and styles that don't work across your day. You want something comfortable, sharp, and reliable without guessing, returning, or buying five different pairs. That's why there's Jack Archer.
Yes, JackArcher.com simplifies everything with the Jet Setter Tech Pant. One versatile pair designed to take you from work to weekend without missing a beat. Easy to wear, easy to style, and easy to shop for. The Jet Setter Tech Pant is wrinkle-free, stain-resistant, and built for all-day comfort. They stretch, breathe, and hold their shape, giving you a consistent fit and polished look every time. Backed by thousands of five-star reviews, they're the dependable pants you'll reach for daily.
Jack Archer, ready when you are. For a limited time, get 15% off your first order with code GETJACK at jackarcher.com. Again, that's promo code GETJACK at jackarcher.com for 15% off your first order.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Just got a new puppy or kitten. Congrats. But also, yikes. Between crates, beds, toys, treats, and those first few vet visits, you've probably already dropped a small fortune, which is where Lemonade Pet Insurance comes in. It helps cover vet costs so you can focus on what's best for your new pet. The coverage is customizable, sign up is quick and easy, and your claims are handled in as little as 3 seconds. Pro tip, Lemonade offers a package specifically for puppies and kittens. Get a quote at lemonade.com/pet. Your future self will thank you. Your pet won't. They don't know what insurance is.
Doug Harsh, Scott Anderson, 97.1. Open lines, 248-539-9797. Look, there's a lot of angst around Metro Detroit. What's going on with Tarek Skubal? We'll get into that in the noon hour. Some NFL draft stuff we'll get to next. But we're bringing up the story, and we got open line, so anything on your mind, fair game. But we just found the story that John Hollinger did in The Athletic, former Memphis Grizzly executive, to be very interesting. To sum it up, he's preaching patience with the Pistons. He does not think they should make a bold move at the trade deadline. And the reason is, he doesn't really know, and he doesn't think they even know what they really are just yet. At one point, he makes the point that in a 7-game series, when you're deep in the playoffs, really good teams, and you're going peer-to-peer battle, like you're thinking one of us is the best team in the East, teams attack you in ways over a 7-game series and expose things that you're not aware are there yet. And so making a bold move now before you've really defined who you are might not make the most sense. At least he doesn't think it makes the most sense until we see the Pistons in a deep playoff run where they're like playing for the Eastern Conference crown. I think that is one of the, it might be the smartest thing to do. It's also one of the more boring things to do. And I know that people around Metro Detroit already have growing anxiety about the other teams not making moves and have built up like animosity. Because, you know, I'm just trying to win a championship. Right? The Mr. Aggressive guy wants to make that bold move and put you over the top. And if you look at the Pistons historically, their two championship runs, the Bad Boys got Mark Aguirre, helped put him over the top. The Going to Work Pistons got Rasheed Wallace, helped put him over the top.
Yeah, well, the Bad Boys trade was different because that was more of a trade to move somebody out of the organization and bring somebody in, which were basically the same player, but one fit better with the team. I mean, they traded Adrian Dantley away and got Mark Aguirre. scoring wise, those guys are very similar players, but Aguirre was best friends with Isaiah and Dantley was a little prickly. So to move the prickly part out and bring somebody in, that was a chemistry thing. I think the Rashid thing was more of the move that's appropriate that when you talk about the guy that can put you over the top.
And for a long time Detroit fan, they just see these finishing touches that help mold championships. They're different too because those teams also had longer playoff runs than this team that hasn't won a playoff series yet.
Yeah, but if you go back to the going to work Pistons, and you'll perhaps refresh my memory on this. The year prior to hiring Larry Brown when they won the championship, did they get to the conference finals? They were just were they a 50-win team? They were a team that was getting to 50 wins with Rick Carlisle.
I think they made it to the conference finals, but let me go back and look.
Because that team obviously was cobbled together, and then they had the second overall pick, and we know what happened. That didn't contribute, but then they make the trade of the deadline to acquire Rashid. It was an awfully good team that then acquired Rashid, but it was a 50-win team prior. This Piston team was not a 50-win team last year, but they were a team that had significant growth, got to the playoffs against a team that many people thought was far superior, and they pushed them to the brink.
So that Piston team, the 2003 Pistons, the year before they won it all, lost in the conference finals to the Nets. They won two series and then lost in the conference finals to the Nets. The 88-89 Pistons,
they
worked their way up the totem pole. They did. Like they went around, then they won two rounds, then they won three rounds, then they made the trade and they won the whole thing. But anyway, the point is, how would you feel if they just stand pat, as Hollinger suggests that they should? Kang, before we get to the people, I want your 2 cents on this.
Yeah, I understand his reasoning. Like, let's see how far this young core can go. Maybe they can go to the NBA Finals before you decide to make a change. And albeit, maybe it doesn't have to be a Giannis-type drastic change. But even if you upset the apple cart a little bit by adding a Michael Porter Jr. or a Trey Murphy, that's a starter, right? That's a second scorer. So it's not just a role player. I kind of do want to see this, how far this core can go, but it's not up to me for like my entertainment to see how far they can go. It might, you know, if I'm the GM, if I'm Trajan Langdon, if I'm the president, I'm trying to build a team to win a championship now, right? So you look like you're pretty good. He's right in the article. He says they have the best record. Doesn't mean they're the best team in the East. You're trying to be the best team in the East come playoff time. So I think in the end, you have to make a trade. This might be the perfect time to do it. You can't wait. Tobias Harris's contract is a big reason why. He's expiring this year. He's not providing much on the court. Off the court, I think he provides veteran leadership and all that stuff. But on the court, he's providing very little. He has an expiring big contract that helps you match up with any trade. I think you have to do it. The stars are aligning right now for you to do it. And if you ask me, are the Pistons going to win the championship this year with this roster? I would say no. I wouldn't bet on it. If they make a move, I'd probably feel more confident. So in the end, I think they do have to make some kind of move. Everything aligns.
You know, the thing about it is, you didn't break a rule, which I'm about to make a rule. If you call up and say, or text us and say, you want the Pistons to make an aggressive move because, quote, I just want one of our teams to, that's you can't do that. What the Red Wings, Tigers, and Lions have done should have no bearing on the smartest thing the Pistons should do. So, I'm making a rule here. Can't say that.
You can have your opinion that they should or should not make the trade, but do not bring up to support your opinion that, well, the other teams didn't do it, so I need this team to do it.
Well, I just want one of our teams to make. Don't do that.
Not up in here?
Not up in here. I mean, it's like basically saying, yeah, force the hand, Trajan, because nobody else did. 248-539-9797.
You know, Hollinger's kind of saying, like, oh, I want to see this team go through some rough spots, but you don't have to go through those rough spots. You know what I mean? Yeah. That's not a prerequisite to winning a championship. If you can build a team right now, they have the young pieces, they have the draft picks that who cares about, they have the expiring contract and an old player who's not helping you. You almost have to make a trade.
I don't think that every trade deadline, there's going to be that player that seems like they would fit nicely for the Pistons. I don't think that happens every year. And this year, it looks like there's a couple players that could be had that either of them would make sense. We talked about it yesterday with Markkanen or Michael Porter Jr., that these guys could make sense. You can't count on that's going to be creeping up next year too. After, okay, look, I saw them play. They got all the way to the conference finals in 2026. So, yeah, now I'd go ahead and make that. No, you don't have that luxury. You don't know what's going to be around the corner. You have to judge it based on what you have now. And obviously, Trajan Langdon has a much better grip on what's going on than John Hollinger will, or that you and I would. But I don't think that, I don't think just taking this cautious path and saying, well, I got to see another playoff before I'm ready to make moves makes any sense.
So you guys are against what Hollinger is suggesting. 248-539-9797. Let's go to Ali. You're on 97.1. What's up, Ali?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey.
I'm a big believer, big, huge believer. By the way, I've watched every Piston game since 87, so I have a good, you know, figure on the
line. Your credentials are in order.
Okay. So there's no reason to hang on to Tobias Harris. Yes, he's good. Yes, he's a veteran. Yeah, he does a bunch of extra stuff that's outside the court. And on the court, he's okay, too. But you got an expiring contract right now that's going to allow you to attach to a multiple other players and get somebody very good that's going to be here for the next couple, 2-3 years at least to build with Kate Cunningham down the road. We wait until the end of the year and we play. Now Tobias Harris' contract is gone. There's nothing. Now we have to just bank on free agency. We have something. We have something right now. Take advantage of it right now.
So you will be disappointed if they don't make a move.
Extremely disappointed. I mean, come on, we don't get to this point without doing nothing about it. And I see where the Lions came from. I can see where the Tigers came from. Red Wings, they are what they are. But this is a whole different situation. The Pistons have value now. You don't have the value at the end of the year. You're going back to free agency and begging people to come to you where you can make it happen right now.
Do you think you need to beg people to come to Detroit now?
Look, we're going to be real, man. It's not as easy as it is to come to Detroit than it is to come to any major city. We're against each other. We have other teams that are going to have a little upper hand against us.
It's not an exotic locale, but this is no longer an NBA outpost either. I mean, I'm not exactly saying we're Golden State. Most of our lives, Golden State was an afterthought in the NBA. Now they're getting players that they want. We're not there yet. But people want to play with Cade. Like, this has become far more attractive than it once was. Now, if you might need some of that Tobias money to bring back Dern, for that matter. But 248-539-9797. Stefan in Clarkston, you're next. Hi, Stefan.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
What's up?
I kind of disagree with the article. I do think the Pistons know what they are currently. If there wasn't the perfect player sitting out there right now for them to acquire, I would be more hesitant on just trading to trade. But when you have Michael Porter Jr. sitting there and what you are what's reported to give up for him, yeah. I don't understand why that trade doesn't make this team better. I really do think you're a three-point shooter away from contending for a title. That's the one area when Cade's off the floor, they really struggle to shoot the ball, especially from the outside. And I think it'll open Duncan Robinson up a little more. But I do think this team knows what they are. They're a defensive team with a superstar and then a budding superstar in Jalen Duren. You add a third piece that can play, stretch the floor, shoot the three. You can't tell me there's a team in the East that can beat the Pistons.
Well, I got to tell you, Stefan, the Michael Porter Jr. trade rumors are fascinating to me because when I see what people propose that they need to give up to go get Michael Porter Jr., I do it 10 times out of 10. It looks too good to be true. I can't believe that all they'd have to give up is like Tobias, like Ivy and a first-round pick or something like that to get a player that's averaging 25 a game, taking 10 threes and shooting over 40% from three.
Seems too good to be true.
It really does, but it is tempting, and that's probably a move that I would make.
You know what seemed to be too good to be true, too, was the Rasheed Wallace
trade. That's 100% true.
Like, 100% true. How they got Rasheed Wallace.
And Mike James. When that trade went down, I'm like, they also got Mike James, who is a player that's going to help you win basketball games. Get to more of your phone calls and feedback coming up, 97.1.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
As a man, finding a great pair of pants feels harder than it should. Some look sharp but feel stiff. Others are comfortable but wrinkle, stain, or lose their shape by noon. And if you're working, traveling, or constantly on the move, most pants just cannot keep up. That's where Jack Archer comes in.
JackArcher.com delivers one pair of pants designed for real life. Whether it's golf with the guys or date night with someone special, these pants will keep you comfortable and looking polished wherever the day takes you.
That's right, Mark. The Jack Archer Jet Setter Tech Pant is wrinkle-free, stain-resistant, and built to hold its shape all day. With customizable fit options and multiple colors, these are the one pair of pants you'll want to wear every day.
Jack Archer, ready when you are. For a limited time, get 15% off your first order with code GETJACK at jackarcher.com. Again, that's promo code GETJACK at jackarcher.com for 15% off your first order.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Just got a new puppy or kitten. Congrats. But also, yikes. Between crates, beds, toys, treats, and those first few vet visits, you've probably already dropped a small fortune, which is where Lemonade Pet Insurance comes in. It helps cover vet costs so you can focus on what's best for your new pet. The coverage is customizable, sign up is quick and easy, and your claims are handled in as little as 3 seconds. Pro tip, Lemonade offers a package specifically for puppies and kittens. Get a quote at lemonade.com/pet. Your future self will thank you. Your pet won't. They don't know what insurance is. It's almost President's Day, and this year I've got a winning strategy for saving big. I'm skipping the phony sales and instead scoring everyday low prices on my favorite pieces from Bob's Discount Furniture. When I shop Bob's, I get more of what I love. More style, more storage, more comfort, more choices, even more years on that precious mattress warranty. All for a fraction of the cost of what you pay at other stores. So this President's Day weekend, stop in or shop online and see how much more you can save when you dare to compare at Bob's.
Phone calls and feedback on the John Hollinger story in The Athletic, saying that the Pistons should sit tight this year because they don't really know who they are yet, and they won't know who they are until they get into a deep playoff run and have a peer-to-peer, like, seven-game series against a team that knows, that can maybe expose a weakness that you don't know is there yet. So he is in favor of moves on the margins, but no big swings from the Pistons, which would fall in line with what has been a hot-button topic in all of 2025 and might be in 2026, is teams in Detroit not taking big swings. Now, to be clear, one should not impact the other. If your reasoning for wanting the Pistons to take a big swing is you just want one of our teams to take a big swing, that really, to me, is not a real factor, and it shouldn't be for you either. The reason is because somebody else, in your view, made a mistake doesn't mean another team needs to overcorrect. Right? And I think that stands to reason. Maybe not too many people need that lesson. But at the end of the day, they do look like they very well might be the biggest, best team in the East. The one thing that doesn't do the Pistons any favors is the schedule. You know what I would love to have as a data point? A game with Oklahoma City. I would love to have that against the NBA's best. Take a look and have a way before the trade deadline to determine, are they as good? How do they stack up against Oklahoma City? Now, one regular season game might not necessarily be enough data, but it would be something to be able to look at and say, we're miles away or we're right there, right? Something.
Yeah, well, I mean, this week they play tonight against Phoenix. That's a pretty good basketball team. They play Saturday against Indiana. They play Monday against Boston. I mean, that's a pretty good gauntlet.
But we know what they are against those teams. They've played those teams.
Another game against Phoenix at Phoenix. Yeah, they don't have that. They have a game against, when's the deadline? Is it the 6th?
Yes.
So they play a game against Denver on February 3rd.
They don't play San Antonio before the trade deadline,
no.
Do they?
And they play the Knicks on February 6th, but that'll be at night after the trade deadline is come and gone. Yeah, great. But at the same time, if you're Trajan Langdon, shouldn't you have a pretty good idea of how good your team is?
You have an idea, but...
I mean, a pretty good idea. Like, I don't think... I guess, let me put it this way. I don't think Trajan Langdon is going into this with the same approach that John Hollinger is. I don't think Trajan Langdon is saying, well, I just got to see this team play and get to test it in a 7-game series, because that's when I'm really going to know. I don't think he's approaching it like that. I sure as hell hope he's not approaching it like that, because I would expect him to know how good he thinks this team really is. Have a good opinion. At this point, I hope he's not going, geez, I don't know. I mean, maybe we could play in a playoffs.
Yeah, part of his job is kind of predicting the future,
yes.
Knowing what you have. Hey, like, hey, I think we can win. I think we can't. Like, you can't wait till after it happens. Anyone can react.
Well, you can wait till after it happens because you might say, for instance, if they don't win the NBA title this year, I'm not mad at him for not knowing that they weren't going to win the NBA title.
No,
I think if he wants to take a run with this core and says, I think we might be good enough, to do it this year. I don't think there's anything wrong with that, even if he's wrong.
I think there's a difference with saying that I don't want to upset the apple cart with this team and the chemistry and let's go with it. I really like this team the way they're constructed and go for it that way. I don't think there's anything wrong with saying that. I think if you're going to pass on a trade because you're not sure because of the reasons Hollinger gives you,
yeah,
that I have an issue with.
248-539-9797. Let's go to Don in Armada. You're next. Hi, Don.
Hey, gentlemen. How are you?
What's up?
Hey, I called to talk about Scoobal, and that's what I want to get to. I really like the Michael Porter Jr. thing, though. I'm hesitant about Ivy, though. I feel like he's been better every game since he's come back, but I don't know. I don't know what his defensive metrics and all that stuff is either. But
I like his effort.
Yeah, as far as Scoobal, though, I mean, I just think, and I've thought this for a couple of years now, the Tigers are screwed. I mean, I see no scenario where it works out where the Tigers are going to look good. Placating him here this year in arbitration, what would that have done? I mean, you could offer him 25 and let's say he accepted it. You think he's going to start going over 100 pitches this year in his free agency year, or that's going to make Boris more likely to sign with them next year? No, I don't. They're just giving him an extra $5 million. The Tigers must know they can't compete with New York's and L.A.'s when he hits free agency. Boris is determined to get him to free agency. And the only scenarios I can see is if the Tigers are completely out of it and they can trade him at midseason and get something for him. Or, the only other scenario where they would maybe look okay is if, you know, hopefully they make it to the World Series and win the World Series this year, and then he still walks away. But
well, they've had interesting reporting.
I don't see a scenario where they look good.
No, I probably not. I don't think. I mean, my gut tells me that Scott Boras says we're going to free agency no matter what. Doesn't matter.
And
we're going to get you the biggest price, and the Tigers can't match that. And the reporting the last 2 days has been interesting. Yeah, the report from Evan Petzold, his article the other day in the Free Press, that said that the Tigers had offered $19.8 million initially when they start negotiating, and then eventually came down to $19 million when they had to submit their number. And it made the Tigers look terrible, right, publicly
right.
And nationally, yeah. And people were skewering them, and you had a former player say they're a trash organization and all that. Then Chris McCoskey, the Detroit News, reports yesterday and comes out in a column today in the newspaper, that they were initially offered 19.8, but that Scott Boras's camp never countered. And
they
didn't negotiate at all. And that the Tigers were willing to go over $20 million and perhaps as much as $25 million. But Boras never negotiated with them. So the first that they heard of the $32 million number was when it was submitted. And I'm like, that's a really crappy way of negotiating if you're Scott Boras, and that puts the Tigers in a bad position. So in the end, the Tigers are like, well, fine, we'll go low, whatever the recommendation is from baseball, we'll throw it at $19 million. Here you go, and then it's 32 from Scoobal's camp, and it makes the Tigers look cheap when it probably not necessarily the case. I think Scott Boras is playing this thing to the hilt.
I want to be clear that I did not talk to somebody in the Tigers organization about this. Nobody in the front office, none of the coaches, none of the people and personnel, nobody. I talked to somebody in depth about this who is on the player side, okay?
Familiar with the process.
Very much so, all right? And let me be clear. The Tigers did exactly what Major League Baseball recommended that they do. And there's a reason Major League Baseball has an arbitration process. And to try and sum it up as best I can, it is in large part so that teams like the Kansas City Royals, the Pittsburgh Pirates, the Tampa Bay Rays can hang on to players for a while in their career, and they don't have to pay them like the Dodgers, the Yankees, and the Red Sox choose to pay players and can play players and have the affordability. There is a cost control measure in place so that the smaller market teams can draft and hang on to players. And arbitration is a system that's used to compare similar players at ages and say, well, this guy got this much, so this guy should get the same or more or less. And this flies in my face. If the Tigers just gave him his $32 million, it would break the scales. And all pitchers in baseball, league-wide, would ask for more, way more. And Skeens will ask for 40 when he's up for arbitration. Yeah. So what's going to happen is you turn it into free agency before free agency. So the Tigers and all teams are compelled to pay attention to what the league recommends and do what the league, because the league recommends what you should offer a player in arbitration. So that doesn't turn into premature free agency. It's the best way I can do to sum this up. So what the Tigers did, I didn't like it at first, but the deeper I get into the nuance of arbitration, the more I understand it. They want to go above and beyond. They can call up Major League Baseball and say, hey, we're going to go a couple million higher than that and kind of get approval. But there's a reason that this is done this way. And it's so you don't get into bidding wars with teams that don't hold your players' rights.
Well, I get that the whole...
And Boris is trying to break the system is what it appears.
Yeah.
And McCoskey wrote as much.
But the idea of free agency before they're free agent eligible... I mean, I think teams would love the ability to go, to sign the player to the extension, and it's clear that that Boris does not want to do the free agency before free agency. He wants his player to be eligible for free agency earlier, and effectively he is. The Tigers could give him a long-term offer right now, an extension right now, but he doesn't want to listen to it.
Yeah, I think that when you get – if we do a deep dive on this, we'll be doing it for an hour, and we'll lose the audience, but it's not as bad as it looks. And more reporting's coming out saying that. It's Carson Anderson on 97.1.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Buying pants shouldn't take this much effort. Too many options, inconsistent sizing, and styles that don't work across your day. You want something comfortable, sharp, and reliable without guessing, returning, or buying five different pairs. That's why there's Jack Archer.
Yes, jackarcher.com simplifies everything with the Jet Setter Tech Pant. One versatile pair designed to take you from work to weekend without missing a beat. Easy to wear, easy to style, and easy to shop for. The Jet Setter Tech Pant is wrinkle-free, stain-resistant, and built for all-day comfort. They stretch, breathe, and hold their shape, giving you a consistent fit and polished look every time. Backed by thousands of five-star reviews, they're the dependable pants you'll reach for daily.
Jack Archer, ready when you are. For a limited time, get 15% off your first order with code GETJACK at jackarcher.com. Again, that's promo code GETJACK at jackarcher.com for 15% off your first order.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback, I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
We're a few weeks into the new year, and I want to check in. How are those lifestyle resets going? Maybe you're tightening up your exercise routine, finally learning that new skill, or attempting to eat a bit healthier. We all know that starting the year strong is a lot easier and much more delicious when you have the right fuel. That's where Omaha Steaks come in. Stay satisfied, keep your energy up, and fuel your daily routine with premium portion proteins delivered right to your door. Omaha Steaks have been America's original butcher since 1917. We're talking about five generations of uncompromising quality, backed by an unconditional 100% money-back guarantee. Their variety is unmatched. From handcrafted USDA-certified tender steaks to gourmet burgers, seafood, and versatile chicken, every steak is perfectly aged to maximize tenderness and hand-cut by master butchers. Let Omaha Steaks deliver high-quality proteins right to your door. Visit omahasteaks.com and get an extra $35 off with promo code T-Bone at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com. Promo code T-Bone. Terms apply. See site for details.
Have you been diagnosed with head or neck cancer? At Kansas City Proton Institute, we're delivering the future of cancer care with state-of-the-art proton therapy right here in KC. Proton therapy means increased precision, reducing side effects like dry mouth, difficulty swallowing, and the loss of taste as compared to conventional radiation. If you've been diagnosed, don't wait. Get your second opinion today and see KC's largest, most experienced proton therapy team. Visit kcpi.com, Kansas City Proton Institute, where you see the best in KC.